I cry out to you at the top of my lungs. God, answer. I'll do whatever you say. I called to you, save me, so I can carry out your instructions. I was up before sunrise crying for help, hoping for a word from you. I stayed awake all night prayerfully pondering your promise. In your love, listen to me. In your justice, keep me alive. As those out to get me get closer and closer, they go further and further from the truth you reveal. But you're the closest of all to me, God, and your judgment's true. I've known all along from the evidence of your words that you meant them to last forever. Take a good look at my trouble and help me. I haven't forgot your revelation. Take my side and get me out of this. Give me back my life, just as you promised. Salvation is only gibberish to the wicked because they've never looked it up in your dictionary. Your mercies, God, run into the billions. Following your guidelines, revive me. My antagonists are too many to count, but I don't swerve from the directions you gave. I took one look at the quitters and was filled with loathing. They walked away from your promises so casually. Take note of how I love what you tell me. Out of your life of love, prolong my life. Your words all add up to the sum total, truth. Your righteous decisions are eternal. That reading was from the Message. And you may not know, but the Message is not a translation. So I'm going to read our text this morning out of the English Standard Version. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have found them forever. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your words is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Let's pray. Father, this is your word, and we thank you for it. And we pray that our hearts would be open to receive what you have for us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist is in dire straits. His prayer is one of passionate lament. In his tumultuous state, he prays to get a hold of God. Prayer is one of God's inescapable laws of life. Its importance is found throughout the Scripture. The prophetess Anna never left the temple, but prayed day and night with fastings. The Lord Jesus often went out to pray alone. The early church prayed persistently and regularly. Paul exhorted the Thessalonians to pray persistently and regularly. He exhorted the Colossians to hold fast and not let go of prayer. Prayer is not a take it or leave it proposition. It is important to our spiritual health. And there are three vital benefits found in today's prayer. First of all, prayer encourages obedience. Second, prayer increases hope. And third, prayer renews life. These benefits come when an attitude of prayer is cultivated diligently and faithfully. I ask this question today. What is your attitude toward prayer? Oswald Chambers wrote in his classic devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, and said this, "We tend to pray as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense." And there are times that we can't do anything but pray. God also wants us to pray before we do anything. If you were to ask any church-going person if prayer is important, you may get the standard Sunday school answer, yes. What is it that prayer does for us? What is it that it does to us? Chambers makes this provocative statement. He says the purpose of prayer is not to get an answer. It's to get a hold of God. To Chambers, God is not a servant butler that we ask whenever we want something. He's a confidant. He's a friend. He's our King. He's the Lord. He is the can in our can't. He is the can to our can't. And our psalmist found that praying encouraged his obedience. Praying increased his hope. Praying renewed his life. Can we talk? What about you? When you pray, do you want to advance your kingdom or His? Maybe a little of both? Our conversations with Him can be reactive, relational, or both. Sometimes our prayers are reactive. God, help! Or, God, save me! Usually said as one starts falling off the cliff. But it can also be this. God, why? They may be reactive because it's the only time prayer is offered. God is ignored until something is needed. But prayers can be relational, like a friend. For example, Heavenly Father, it's me again. How are you today? And you hear Him answer in your heart, I am good. I do not change. My child, you need that today, don't you? What do you want me to do for you? You know me so well, Lord. I have fears that need dealing with. And I've been real anxious. I mean, real anxious. Things are crazy. Everything is changing so quickly. And in a way I don't like. I feel like I'm losing it and I don't like it. I'm drained. I'm weak. I need your help. And then we hear, do not be afraid. I am with you even to the end of the age. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. We can be honest with God. He knows our emotions. He replies to us through His Word, and all His words are true. How about this? Are your prayers too long? Wait, what? How can they be too long? Well, are they so long that the angels yawn? Are they so long that you yawn? Do you find yourself keep repeating certain phrases? Will you only be heard if you speak many, many, many words and have many, many, many favorite phrases? Jesus said not to use vain repetitions. You know that the false religions do that. But you know, God is listening. He hears the moment you say, Heavenly Father. Are your prayers shorter than a blink of an eye? Is your prayer plan limited? Unlimited talk and text, excuse me? Or does your plan restrict the number of prayers to 5 or 10 a month, or maybe less? What is your prayer plan? What do your prayers reveal about who God is to you? Can He be trusted? Is He good? Is He faithful? The Bible says that God created us in His image. Unfortunately, too often in our prayers, we return the favor by making Him into ours. What does the psalmist tell us? First of all, prayer encourages obedience. He bears his heart. I cried. Answer me, God. His cry is directed to God, not to something else. Save me. Crying with all his heart opens the door for God to work in his heart. I will observe your laws. I shall keep your testimonies. Testimonies. When you give testimony in a court of law, they ask you this question: do you affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And when God gives testimony, He says, I do. Our prayers open the door for the Father to work in us. We are His workmanship, created in Him for good works, which He planned for us to do. He planned it in advance. He works in us so that He can work through us. Prayer encourages obedience. Secondly, prayer increases our hope. When you pray, what is your hope? And please understand, I'm not saying this to make anyone feel guilty. We're just visiting here together. It's an opportunity for us to look at our hearts, because God wants to work in our hearts. Hope and expectation are not the same. For instance, in praying, we can have what's known as premeditated expectation. But someone has said that expectations can lead to premeditated resentment if things don't go as they're planned. In James, we find that. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. And then there's the unexpected expectations. The pastor at the church asked the people to pray that the neighborhood bar might be shut down. So dutifully, the people came together in the evening and they had a time of prayer that this evil place might be removed from the neighborhood, the evil that's done there. Well, 2 weeks later, big storm brews up, bolt of lightning, place burns down. Well, the bar owner had heard that this church was praying, probably made some fun of it to his customers. But when his place burnt down, he immediately goes and files a lawsuit against the church. So he gets to the church, or he gets to court, and he gives this impassioned plea and argument about the power of prayer, the bar owner. And then it's the turn of the pastor. The pastor gets up and he said, well, I didn't really expect anything was going to happen. The judge goes, boo. He has a mixture of being amused and perplexed. Finally, he answers and said, what I've got here is a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and a pastor who doesn't. Odd, isn't it? Well, prayer increases hope. And one way it does that is by exercising hope. Notice what the psalmist says. I rise before dawn. Who does that unless they have hope or a job like that? Another, he says in verse 147, I hope for your words. Then he looks forward to the night so he can meditate on his promises. The psalmist has hope, and it's directed hope. It's not, everything's going to turn out. It's directed hope in His Word. And the focus of the psalmist and his hope is renewed life. Hear my voice according to your love. Renew my life according to your laws, according to your promise. He doesn't want just life. He wants to start living in the path of God's laws. That's how he wants to renew his life. He doesn't want just his life to be renewed. He wants his life renewed in a direction different from where he's at. Like Josh sang to us, I want something different. And the psalmist is loyal. He says, you are near. The godless are far from your law. The godless do not seek your decrees. Your commandments are truth. Your testimonies are forever. I do not forget your law. And he recognizes that only the Lord can deliver him, and he puts his hands in the hands of the Lord. Defend me. Rescue me. Redeem me. So how is our life renewed as our obedience is encouraged, as our hope increases? Praying repairs and reconciles relationships. Praying honors the God who is merciful and meek and humble and forgiving and just. He wants us to be just like Him. Renewed in that way. Praying heals emotions. Are you feeling pride? Turmoil? Shame? Alone? Hate, anger, fear, love, lust, distress, depression, doubt, distrust, loss of control, out of control, weak, useless. Prayer honors the God who gives peace and purpose and significance and security and acceptance and eternal life. Praying renews our new covenant relationship with the Lord. This is really what He was after. He wanted that covenant relationship to be renewed and restored. And circumstances may cause us to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? But heart honest prayer leads us to repentance. And repentance says, my God, why have I forsaken you? He rescues us. He redeems us. He restores us. He revives us. And the miracle of prayer is this. We become more thankful. We become more merciful. And our life is renewed and we like it. Let's pray. Father, how good you are to us and how you love us. It's so good to be able to talk with you. Realizing that you can when we cannot. Thank you for being a loving Father. We give thanks to you for your word. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Now may the God who raised Jesus from the dead strengthen you with all power by His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ Jesus dwells in your heart through faith.